So this idea is, what would it look like to come face to face with God? Rather than being a scary or intimidating thing, you know, that the light of God's knowledge and his glory is displayed in the face of Christ. That somehow when we look at Jesus Christ, and that's what we're going to continue to do. Jesus Christ is the center of our teaching, our preaching, and even our fellowship, and even the work that we do together. Christ is always the center. We always look at Jesus Christ because in doing so, we get a picture of what God is like. But isn't that interesting, specifically the face of Christ? The face of Christ reveals the glory of God. You know, the light of God's glory shines in the face of Jesus. So I'm thinking about what that means. And so some of my prayers for this year that I invite you to join with me is that as we learn what it means to come face to face with God, a few things would happen. One, we'd experience more love in our lives. We'd experience more light in our lives. And I want to talk about those two things in just a minute. But also this idea of what does it mean to be blessed by God? For it's this idea that when God looks at you, that's a sign or a symbol or a poetic way of describing the blessing of God. And I'm kind of fascinated by that concept. What does it mean to truly be blessed by God? And then what does it mean to truly be a blessing to other people or a blessing to the community? Again, you might hear people say, you know, on an Instagram reel or in person, I am blessed and highly favored. I am blessed and highly favored. And that is absolutely true. We are blessed and highly favored by God. But I'm not sure we mean the same things when we say it. I'm not sure we understand exactly what the content of that is. You know, to use the extremes as an example, to be blessed and highly favored doesn't mean that you have 25 automobiles in your garage. You know, there's something more significant and deeper about that phrase that I want to explore together this year. So praying for more love, more light, and what does it truly mean to be blessed by God? But also, what does it truly mean to give a blessing to other people? And those are some of the things that we're going to explore throughout the year together. But today I wanted to begin at the beginning. And I love how this verse says, in the beginning, God said, let there be light, and light shone into the darkness. And then in the Gospel of John, he said, the coming of Christ is like a new creation. So he begins his gospel the same way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I believe it's in that first chapter of John that there's a verse I want to focus on today, John chapter 1, verse 14, if you'd like to turn there at home or in person, that will help us understand two qualities of the face of God in Jesus Christ that I want us to explore today. But I personally cannot look at John chapter 1 without reading more than one verse. So if you will allow me, and if you'd like to follow along, I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. But then for my teaching and preaching today, I will focus just on verse 14. But here is the famous, wonderful, beautiful prologue to the Gospel of John, the story of Jesus Christ according to the disciple that he loved so much. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Can I get an amen this morning? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Amen? The true light. This is part of what I'm proposing to you today. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. And he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, He gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And what I want to focus on today is that aspect of the glory, that we have seen the glory of God in the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, from the Creator, from God, full of grace and truth. So when we look at the face of God in Jesus Christ, when we come face to face with Jesus, I believe there are two things that we see first and foremost, and that is we see love or grace, and we see light or truth. Grace and truth are the two things that are that describe the quality of the glory of God. So we understand that the glory of God is not always some kind of vague, magical cloud that fills a room. The glory of God is not just confetti and fireworks and whatever. But the glory of God described for us is that it is grace and truth that come to us in the form of Jesus Christ, because as our key verse says, God has made his light shine in our hearts so that we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And what is the glory of God? It is grace and truth, or what I'm calling today love and light. You see what I'm saying? So when you come face to face with God, Derek, what you see first is love. You see what love really looks like. I think about all of the face-to-face encounters that people had with Jesus Christ when he lived on this earth in the Gospels. And there was a woman who came into a gathering, and she anointed his feet with perfume. And when she looked at the face of Jesus, she no longer saw her shame and condemnation, but she saw her acceptance and her validation. When the woman who was caught in adultery after everyone had left was able to look face to face with Jesus, she no longer saw her sin and her punishment, but she saw her salvation and her redemption. When the woman at the well sat down and had a face to face with Jesus for several hours, she saw not just another man, not just another Jew, her sworn enemy, not just another religious leader with their own theological opinions, but rather she saw face to face with Jesus, one who knew her completely and loved her compassionately. What do you see when you look into the face of Jesus Christ? Amen. Have you yet had that experience where you can say, I've looked into the face of Jesus? I've seen the face of Jesus. So how does it come to us that we might see the face of Jesus? Because there's nothing like it. There's nothing like a face-to-face encounter, am I right? You know what it's like. When you want to talk to someone quickly, you text them. When you want to just connect with someone, you call them. You want to at least hear their voice. But if you really want to connect with them and you can't get together, you say, can we FaceTime? And I don't know about you, maybe there are some people who FaceTime all the time, but in my experience and the people I've seen, FaceTime is reserved for the people that are closest to you. You know, you don't just see people FaceTiming usually their boss from work, but I always see people FaceTiming their children, their spouse, their partner, someone that they really want to connect with. And of course, being in person, nothing beats being face-to-face with someone. There's something about making eye contact with someone you love, isn't there? See, for many people, they probably don't want to look God in the face because they're afraid, right? It might be like those times, you ever had a time, let's be honest, right? Let's be honest, let's be real. You ever had a time when you're in the store and you see someone you don't necessarily want to talk to? And what do you try to do? You avoid eye contact, am I right? Am I right? Yes, I've seen people avoiding my eye contact, and I've chased them around the store. No, I haven't, I'm just kidding. Sometimes you don't want to look at them in the face. But when there's someone you want to see, and I was trying to think about all the examples of trying to make eye contact with someone. And I thought about, remember when you were a kid, or if you had a kid, in the school concert or choir, and they're standing on the stage. Do you remember looking out and wondering if grandma was there, or if your uncle was there, or if your little brother was there, and you wanted to make eye contact for just a minute? And when you make eye contact with someone you love, man, it changes everything. There's power in that, the love that gets expressed. And friends, this year, somehow, some way, I'm praying that every single one of us would make eye contact with God through Jesus Christ. that somehow that quickening of our spirit, that depth of love, that idea that I am known completely and I am loved lavishly and extravagantly and compassionately, that's what would happen as we come face to face with God in 2024. How does it happen? It's strange to say that we're face to face with God, right? I believe that it often comes through prayer. Sometimes we have to close our eyes to see the face of God. It can come through meditation. There are times when it comes through another person. When our encounter with someone is so unusually profound and meaningful that in some small way we've seen the face of God in the face of someone in whom the light of God's glory and grace is shining through them. Sometimes when we're reading the scriptures, we can look into the face of Jesus Christ. In some mysterious yet real way, I am praying that we would come face to face with Jesus, that we would be able to have eye contact with Jesus, that we would turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. Oh, anybody know the old song? Does anybody know the old song? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing because I know I can't. So I'll recite it. It goes on to say, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will what? Grow strangely dim, say it with me, in the light of his glory and grace. What a powerful chorus we used to sing. It's got very dramatic chords, and I loved playing it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And there's this idea that when we look into the eyes of Jesus, when we see the face of God and we see the true face of true love, that the things of earth begin to dim. And they don't look so big or scary or might I even say important anymore. What grows dim when we look into the face of Jesus? Well, our shame, our failures, our regrets, other people's opinions, other people's expectations of us grow dim. All of the shiny things of the world that would seek to distract us from the kingdom of God, worldly fame, worldly success, you know, all of those things, right? All of the ways that we escape, all of the ways that we try to feel pleasure just for the sake of feeling pleasure because we're so tired of the pain. We can use so many things that were created to be good in a way that becomes just distracting and damaging and destroying. And that's not to say everything in the world is bad, but there are the things of the world are fading away. They're temporary. As much as you want to hold on to it, you're not going to be able to hold on to it. You're not going to take your wardrobe with you to heaven. You're not going to take your 401k with you to heaven. You're not going to take any vehicles. You're probably not going to take all of the experiences, you know. But there are things that are eternal that sometimes are embedded in some of those things. And so when we look at Jesus, when we turn our eyes on Jesus, and we focus on what's eternal, what's going to last forever, the things that are not eternal, that are temporary, that won't last forever, those things tend to become dim and they fade in the light of God's glory and grace. And while that is absolutely true, I want to take it to another level this morning, a level that the song, unfortunately, did not have enough verses for. For when I turn my eyes upon Jesus, there are some things that grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, but there are other things that grow clearer in the light of Jesus Christ. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We've forgotten that part. While some things fade, some things become more clear because in the face of God in Jesus Christ, we not only see love, grace, we see light, which is truth. And in the light of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ, we see the truth about who God is, who we are, and what the world is really like. You see, sometimes we need the light of God to let things become a little more clear. I know some of you know what I'm talking about this morning. I experience it now, you know, at my age. I need more light to see things clearly. I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. I can't see in the dark as well as I used to or thought I could see in the dark, right? I took back my laptop several months ago, and one of my sons had been using the laptop, and I opened it up, and the screen was dim. I couldn't see. I thought he had turned the display all the way down. And I was like, why is it so dim? And I'm hitting the brightness. And he's like, that's because your eyes are so old. And I was like, what? And he was absolutely right. Friends, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm at the age when I go to a restaurant that not only do I need these readers, what we used to call cheaters, to see the menu, I need this $1,000 flashlight to see the menu as well. Can I get an amen from somebody who knows the struggle is real in trying to see things clearly when it's not bright enough? I need a little more light. I need a little more light in order to see things clearly. And lest I leave you young people out who are back there smirking like I can see in the dark like a bat, you even know what I'm talking about because you know when it's dark, you think you see things clearly. When you get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, you think you can make it without turning on the light. But often, there is a pile of shoes on the floor. That's my fault. There is a cat in the way. That is not my fault. And God forbid there might be a Lego that will send you straight into agony and pain. Am I right? And you realize you can't. If you want to see clearly, you turn on a light. You turn on a light. And friends, we are living in a time where people are not seeing clearly. They're not thinking clearly. They're not speaking clearly. I know someone is saying amen in their heart this morning. There's a lack of clarity because there's a lack of truth. Because it is in this encounter, face to face with Jesus, that we see not only love, but we see light. We see not only grace, but we see truth. And I think about that face to face encounter with Peter. And yes, if you're following along, I'm behind on my slides. Let us review. God's face is full of love, God's face is full of light. I think about that encounter with Peter and Jesus. When it was after Jesus had risen from the dead, and after Peter had been out all night fishing and had not caught anything, his nets were empty, and Jesus called to him from the shore of Galilee and said, "Friend, have you no fish?" And I'm sure that Peter's first response is not recorded in Scripture, because it's not appropriate to say to a man who's been struggling all night and unsuccessful, "What, you don't have any fish?" Amen. You know it. You know it's true. But when Peter and Jesus meet on that beach together, and it's early in the morning, and the fire is going, and the smell of the fire is coming into Peter's nostrils, and there's fish cooking on the fire, and there's bread, and Peter comes face to face with Jesus. And when Peter comes face to face with Jesus, I believe that the light of God's truth shines in such a way that Peter sees his past more clearly, his present more clearly, and his future more clearly. Let me explain. You see, Peter had recently denied Jesus. He had denied that he knew Jesus Christ three times. In essence, he had betrayed. He had let Jesus down. When he should have stood up for Jesus, when Jesus was on trial and about to be crucified, Peter acted like he didn't even know him. He hid in fear. He was not there at the cross. He went into hiding. He felt ashamed. He knew that he had messed up. And when he's standing on that beach, face to face with Jesus, the text says that the charcoal fire was burning, the same kind of charcoal fire that was burning the night Peter denied his Christ. And if you know anything about the power of smell and memory, you know that it took him right back to that moment. And if that wasn't enough, Jesus asked him three times, "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" And on the third time, oh, the emotion in Peter, remembering that he had denied three times his best friend in the world. But Jesus wants him to see clearly what he had done wrong. He had sinned. Sin is participation in the evil in the world, and all of the evil in the world, I believe, had gathered around Jesus when he was about to be killed. Every evil force, even the evil personified in devil or the Satan, had gathered. We're seeking to kill the author of life, to destroy the Son of God. And while here on earth, it is fair to say from the Scriptures that Peter was perhaps Jesus' best friend. He wasn't there for him. He sees clearly that I failed. But what he sees in the light of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ is that his failure was not fatal. that there was a chance to be restored, that there was a chance to be redeemed. And that's what God does. He helps us see our past more clearly, not by ignoring it, but by shining God's light on it and saying, you know what? This is what happened, but I can redeem it. I can turn it around. I can create something beautiful out of it. Yes, you hurt me, but we could have a deeper relationship. Oh, who knows that? Who knows that sometimes the more difficulties you have, you can go to deeper levels with someone if you're able to come together. He sees clearly that he failed in the past, but that Jesus is affirming. He says, it's not going to affect our friendship. Our friendship's not over. In fact, he gives him that opportunity. He says, right now, I'm giving you a chance to let me know that you love me, and I want you to know that I love you. He sees clearly in his present that he can't go back to being a fisherman, that he doesn't have to live without Jesus in his life, but that Jesus is there for him, and Jesus gives him a new assignment. He says, don't go fishing for men, feed my sheep. He speaks to him of his purpose. He speaks to him of his calling, and that's what happens for us when we come face to face with Jesus. We see our present situation more clearly. We understand our calling. We understand that God is with us. We understand our assignment, and every single one of us, friends, every single one of us has a calling and an assignment from God. And every single one of us, no matter how we've messed up, we get an opportunity every day, while it's called today, right now, in this moment, to say, God, I'm sorry. I love you. And to see, sense, feel the face of God in Jesus Christ smiling and welcoming you and saying, it's all right, let's move forward. And Peter even gets a glimpse of his future. Now, he doesn't see his future completely, but he sees it a little more clearly. Jesus says this thing that Peter's going to, you know, when he's older, someone's going to take him and dress him and lead him where he doesn't want to go. He indicates the kind of death that Peter's going to die. Peter's going to have to die for being a follower of Christ. He's going to be put on trial for his faith. He's going to be martyred. And while he doesn't know the details, he gets a glimpse that gives a little more clarity to what lies ahead, that the road is going to be dangerous. Sometimes we want to know everything, so I want to make sure I say that clearly. We want to know everything, but we don't get to see everything, but we do see it a little more clearly in the face of Christ. Are you with me on that? Like, I think what we do get to, and sometimes we don't get to know everything about our past. There are things about my parents I wish I knew, but I'm never going to know. I'm never going to know exactly what happened. But when I spend time in the presence of God and I think about the emotions that I have surrounding my loved ones who have passed away, God sometimes brings a clarity to my heart, a little bit of understanding about what happened. And in our present situation, God may not give us all of the answers, but he'll give us more light and more love for the situation we're in. Amen? That's my simple prayer for all of us this year, is that we would look into the face of Christ together, and that as we make eye contact with God, that we would see more love, more grace, that we would see more light, more truth, and that in doing so, the glory of God, the glory of God is grace and truth in our lives. And as good old John said, grace and truth comes to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.